waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Welcome to December. Really? It looked like December out there earlier in the week. It looked like April. Welcome to the show, man. Good to have you along for another couple of hours here talking about the outdoors, being brought to you by Darton Archery, also our friends at Costa Sunglasses, and of course, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. Firearm deer season officially over, getting into muzzleloader season, late bow season, and late whatever else season is left in Michigan. You know, I'll be honest with you, I never even bought a license this year. And it's not because I got anything, you know, against what's going on in my area with CWD or anything else like that. It's just I did not have the time this year. Did not have the time to go hunting at all. So, you know, it's one of those things that schedule did not allow, and maybe that allows for the deer to hopefully grow another year, providing, well, it's a pipe dream to want everybody else to be on the same page as me. But, you know, I hunt near public land, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion on how they should hunt. And again, you know, I manage the area that I have the best I can, and can only hope that others will do the same. But not for me this year. Not happening. But hopefully we're going to get out and maybe do some ice fishing, because that is exactly what we'd like to do this year, a lot of us anyway. Self-included. Chaz Thompson would like to get out and do some ice fishing. He joins us right now. Head brewer at Schmoe's Brewery in Grand Rapids, which you can hear this show. Chaz, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a little while.
Good morning. Hey, it's great to be on.
You know, and the last time we talked, you were getting ready for the USA ice team and ice fishing, which a lot of people don't even realize that there is a USA ice team. And basically fill us in a little bit about how last year went, and did you guys have decent ice to fish with?
Well, we traveled over to the Ukraine. We were over in the kind of south central Ukraine, and the weather did not cooperate. They had Chernobyl Lake was all set aside for us to be our venue, and we got there and the lake was melting, and you know, you can't control nature. So the organizers scrambled, and we ended up enduring over 3-hour bus rides each way to go out to a reservoir to get in the competition. And it actually had to be hurried up and then cut short because of ice conditions.
Okay, Ukraine, the cold eastern ice block of the former USSR, and you guys have issues with ice.
Yeah, and you know, when we were out there in the middle of February, you'd think that we'd have great ice. And the organizers had a wonderful plan. They had us on a hotel that was right on the competition lake until that lake melted. So we had to improvise. We threw out all the research that we had done and had to come up with a new plan really fast. And ice, I mean, if you guys are used to drilling holes, and when you see chunks of ice coming out of your auger blades that are the size of a quarter, you know that the ice consistency is gone.
Yeah, it's not real safe. Did you feel like you were living a Monty Python scene? You know, we built a castle and it sank.
Yeah, at times, because we would sit there with the gear all set and everything waiting for them to determine that an area was safe enough for us to fish on. But when you walked out there, you would find soft spots, and if you stood in a spot too long, a puddle would form. Oh. Now, that ice was still 8-9 inches thick, but it was leaking water right through it.
Chaz Thompson joins us here on Wild Michigan talking about last year's USA ice day. Actually, it was this year. It was in February, correct?
Yes, this was 2016. We're getting ready for 2017 now.
Getting ready for 2017. Hopefully, you know, we'll have some decent ice. Although, like you and I talked off air, I think we're going to get some ice here. It's probably going to be sooner than later. A little bit later on the show, we're going to speak with Brian Brosdahl, speaking of ice fishing. But right now, we're talking with Chaz Thompson. And Chaz, it's a different way of fishing over there, and the species are a little bit different. First, talk about the species, and then talk about how you went after those fish.
Well, a lot of the European fisheries have been really hard-pressed for years, and so a lot of people have learned to go after and target smaller species. The roach, the redfin perch, and then we would get into some bream, which are like some of our larger panfish that can get up to 2 kilos. They're a little bit more rare, but you could still get into them. We actually even found some zander, which are European walleye. And as we were going after them, in the world, you're not allowed to use electronics. No power augers, no flashers, no sonar, none of that stuff. What we have to rely on is a European style of attracting fish to the hole. So you would go down and you would do what's called ground baiting. You would fill a little canister on a special line. You lower it down, get it near the bottom, and give it a jerk, and it puts out a cloud of bait. And those baits are all natural, native baits. We can't bring any plastics or any of our secret weapons from the U.S. We have to put down that ground bait, which sometimes consists of breads and spices and things like that, mixed in with what they call jockers, which are juvenile bloodworms.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings in, that cloud of bait brings in a cloud of those small fish to feed on it. At that time, we use our palm rods, which you've seen the palm rods. They're about 6 inches long.
Right. They're not real big.
And 1 pound and sometimes half pound test with 1 to 2 millimeter jigs with some bloodworms on it. And you get down there and get into that cloud. And a feeding frenzy is going on, so you're trying to hook them. And now these small fish are so delicate that we're using a spring bobber.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys, the spring bobbers that they're cutting, they're using old floppy disks for us old guys that use floppies in our computers. We're digging them out of the basement in that old college box, you know, and slicing them up with an X-Acto knife to make a spring bobber that is super, super sensitive. One of the real critical things is to keep your eye on it. Just like when we're fishing here in Michigan tight lining, you have to watch at all times. Because if you don't see the bite, you're not going to get the bite. They're not going to tug her down the hole, trip a flag or anything like that, which we get with our bigger species here. You have to very much concentrate on it. And that's why it becomes a team sport of having a spotter or a tactician that is worried about, well, what depth are you in? What are the other teams doing? How are you on pace? Things like that. Communicating with the angler to make sure they have enough information and together make a decision on if they should move to a new location, if they should change up their action, what they're doing wrong that's not getting them enough fish to win.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very different thing, but it makes you a better fisherman.
Now,
and we found that here in the U.S., when the fish aren't biting, you go to a smaller lure, a smaller bait. Well, for those of us USA guys, we got a palm rod in the inside pocket of our jacket. We just pull that thing out. And days when nobody else is getting fish, we're scoring because we know that European method.
Absolutely. Chaz, real quickly, what are the lures? I mean, they're, like you said, 1 millimeter, 2 millimeter jigs that you're using. That's awful tiny. Tungsten's pretty heavy to get you down quick. And I hear tell that some of those guys are using gold, which gets to be kind of expensive.
Yeah, they are kind of expensive. And their gold ones are actually tungsten core. And then they're gold plated.
Oh, okay.
You know, us cheap Americans, and we live in a disposable society, so we just use gold paint on them. But when we buy jigs in Europe, there's sometimes when you're given $20, $25 for an individual jig, and it may be your favorite. I had one of the Russians a couple of years ago give me one of his favorite jigs just as a friendship gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my, I don't even really want to get it wet. You know, I want to put it on a plaque or something.
Sure, I don't blame you. Chaz Thompson is our guest here on Wild Michigan. We're going to talk more with Chaz as we get ready for what we hope to be a good ice season here pretty soon. Chaz, hang on the line. You can find Chaz during his regular gig as the head brewer at Schmoe's in Grand Rapids. Some tasty beer to go along with whatever you're pulling through the ice. Got more with him coming up next here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line. an hour too tight. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Costa Sunglasses. See what's out there with the clearest lenses on the planet. Love my Costas, and I think I really need to hurry up and order some for my wife, who had a nasty accident with her favorite pair of sunglasses, her Costa lenses, and didn't go so well. Now she's using her backups, which are still Costa, but they're not the glass lenses, which, man, by all means, if you can, get them. The absolute best, and they even do prescription lenses as well. Costa, there's a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Chaz Thompson is our guest here right now. Chaz, to recap the fishing over in the Ukraine, where did you guys finish up after everything?
We actually finished up about 9th. It wasn't a good year, because when you're setting up those programs of bringing in fish to bait and setting up your cloud and everything, we had our setup going. We had, fed our holes and let them soak and bring in the crowds and everything. And just as we're getting into the harvesting portion of the 3-hour tournament today, they called it due to bad ice conditions, and we're done and over.
Oh, that was, geez. That's a lot of money and a lot of time putting into that. But I get the conditions.
Yeah. Well, we actually had one guy that went through, one of the Lithuanian coaches went through, and when that happened, the FIPSIT official that was on site, he had no choice but to, blow the horn, everybody off the ice as quick as possible. And it was a bummer to us and a real hurry-up thing. But this year in Latvia, we're going to be further north, and our Latvian buddies have promised us some really great fishing close to the hotel. So we won't be enduring those long, long bus rides. And I'll tell you, Ukrainian roads, I will never complain about a Michigan road again.
No.
Their roads are so bad.
No, and you don't have to share a bus with goats either. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I don't want to be Ukrainian friends out there.
Probably one of my teammates, but anyway.
Now, let's look forward to what you're doing this year. Chaz Thompson is our guest here on Wild Michigan, head brewer at Schmoe's, and I'm sure I've got that correct, right? I mean,
well, I'm actually the beer engineer.
Beer engineer, yes. There is a technical term to that.
Yeah.
The beer engineer at Schmoe's in Grand Rapids. Now, you are putting together a little group of seminars coming up here. I know you want to put one together here in Lansing, and I'm working on that with you. But what do you have thus far, and who's appearing with you?
Well, we did Alan Bob's on Thursday night. That was a great turnout. Chad, Anthony, and Steph, all four of us MI Ice guys, were there. Then today and tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be down at DNR Sports in Kalamazoo and doing seminars. Our buddy Bill Ferris from Ionia area, he's going to be doing some seminars as well. And we'll be hanging around the K&E booth, talking jigs, talking new techniques. What do we got going this year? There's some really new hot products that you got to come down and see. One I'm really excited about, the Rod Pod. We're going to have to get you one of those, or two or seven, because those things are awesome. They'll save your rod in the storage. But we're doing that, and then we're going to come a little bit towards you to Sadler's in Six Lakes. That's going to be on the 7th of January, Saturday evening. We're going to get out there, have some fun. Jamie and his wife put on a real good show out there in their maintenance shed. We usually have 50 to 100 guys that show up and talk some ice fishing. We talk some safety. We talk some new techniques. This year, we're going to be putting in an emphasis on choosing where in a lake and what lakes that you should suspect are good ice fishing lakes. We're going to get some science in there about oxygen levels, about plant life. We're going to get I've got some great information that came in from the University of Minnesota, and even from my buddies up the Great Lakes Research Institute at Michigan Tech have given me some information on oxygen levels at different depths. And that really starts to make a lot of sense on how fish behave. I mean, for years, everybody's kind of just speculated, why do crappies suspend? Well, I got some science I'm going to lay on you in these seminars. It's going to help you understand why.
It's going to be good stuff to know, Chad. Chaz Thompson is our guest here. Now, Chaz, one of the things I've learned as I've been doing this show is the Lansing area, one of them was practically a neighbor to me, has some of the, if not the best, ice anglers in the world. The Bodecker brothers, Myron Gilbert, Dave Young, all these guys are located in this mid-Michigan Lansing area, and you would never think to even know that.
Well, one of the great things about the Lansing area that, you know, it shares with other parts of the state is that you have moderate depth lakes. And those, you know, over here in south of Grand Rapids, we've got very deep pebble lakes. Very bad for ice fishing because they deplete oxygen so fast down in the depths. There's no plant life. But in those medium depth ones, you have great oxygen levels, even when the ice cap seals off the lake, that allow the fish to still thrive all winter and become a great panfish fishery. And those guys fish it all year round. From Jackson right on up through Lansing, there are some of the greatest ice pros in the state from down around that area. They, you know, guys like Bo and Myron, they're our mentors. They've taught us so much, and even Myron's still on the team with us for Team USA.
Yeah, I saw him in the picture on the Facebook page, which you can go for the Team USA ice fishing. And my good friend Norm Smith, who's actually moved up to he's up north now, just because he's got a great secret location. It's not so secret, but you know, I mean, he's a guy that's taught me an awful lot too, and all these guys from this mid Michigan area that have just been on fire.
Oh yeah, there's just so much talent out there. And I think Bo was one of the very first ones to figure out that we could use X-ray film for cutting those spring bobbers for the Worlds when he was on the World team. It's just, there's a wealth of knowledge in the state and getting those guys. And I hope that if we get a plan put together for Lansing, we're going to be inviting Bo over and Myron will drive up for sure. We'll have a great time and there'll be so much knowledge in the room. I don't know how an ice fisherman could miss such an event.
Absolutely. Again, we're working on something like that here in Lansing. I did call one venue. They were a little small for what we need, so I'm hurrying up and getting on another one, something that's centrally located that we can all enjoy and share the knowledge of ice fishing. Now, real quickly, I got about a minute left in this segment. What's on tap at Schmoe's?
Well, we've got our Christmas lineup that has just come out. So we've got our Miracle Off 28th Street Old Ale. That's going to be a big, huge thing. We've got our gingerbread brown. It tastes like grandma's cookies. It is absolutely awesome. Those are our great seasonals. We also still have our porter going, as well as our regulars, our brewer's six that you can find around the Lansing area. Actually, we've even made it easier for you. You can go to schmoes.com/find, and that launches our Schmoes Finder that integrates with Google Maps, and it'll show you where our beers can be picked up at all the different bars and markets around the Lansing area, as well as across the whole Great Lakes state.
All right, man, if you're within the sound of my voice, you're probably within arm's reach of a Schmoe's beer. Thank you so much, Chaz. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, guys, you have a good and safe winter, and that ice is coming.
All right, man, we'll keep you updated as to where Chaz and the gang will be. We'll put that up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Going to talk with Ed Shaw coming up next here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy early birthday to Ted Lee Von Nugent Burger. Ted's having a birthday on the 13th of this month. And we know Ted listens, and we know Ted's been on the show a bunch of times. So thanks, Ted, for all you do for us. Appreciate it, and happy early birthday to you. And thanks to our friend Chaz Thompson over at Schmoe's Brewery right there in Grand Rapids. Of course, we're on in Grand Rapids, and we appreciate that. And check out what Chaz has got going on with ice fishing seminars and with beer. Now, last week we had to, and I'm going to say it's been a very busy year this year for me on a personal level. None of it, unfortunately, really outdoors related. To a degree, some of it, but for the most part, Haven't really had a chance to get out and do much hunting and fishing. Talked about it more than anything. And it's been a really good year for ducks with our good friend Captain Jeremy Allman from MIGuideService.com. That's been a fantastic year, seeing all those long tails, the old squaw, and all the diver ducks that guy's been getting. So make sure you check him out for guide service. But Ed Shaw from the Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center up in Cadillac, Lake Mitchell, is joining us. And this is a guy I like to talk to and live vicariously through, because he gets to teach all this stuff and have some great people around him teach about the hunting and fishing. I've been up there for the Bear Seminar before Sarah and I got married, and it was a fantastic, such a learning, you know, experience for me. Even having bear hunted several times, it was still a great learning experience, and that's what you guys do up there. Ed, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, they and don't forget, and Sarah won the trail cam from the Bear Hunters Association.
And she did win the trail cam, yeah. And she's been been using it. It was very cool. The girl wins everything. She's won, like, you know, rifles and handguns and all kinds of crap. And, you know, it's just kind of nice to have her around.
I never win anything, you know?
Yeah, well, hang out with us. You know, you can at least see how it's done. I don't know. But Ed Shaw is up at the Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center, which I was very happy to be at the opener. The official, the dedication that day just happened to be there when Bob Garner was there. And you guys, Steve Barry was there cutting the ribbon for this thing. And it was a great experience for me to see and to be a part of. But Ed, you guys, 2017 and the remainder of 2016 is going to be quite busy.
Yeah, we have a packed schedule with we have our update for the Outdoor Skills Academy. For the listeners who don't know, you know, it's a 1 day how to hunting and fishing, you name it, you know, school. We offer a little bit of everything year round. So we got our Upland Game Bird coming up December 17th. We're trying to get you up there. So you don't have to live through me. You can, you know, we can go shoot some birds.
I've been out shopping for vehicles so I can get myself up there. We're down to one, and it's like, I got to get up there. Bye, honey. See ya. but then again, she likes to go too. So, but tell us about that. Tell us about the Upland Game Bird class that you guys have going on.
Well, it's in partnership with the National Wild Turkey Federation. They got some grants through their 3R, the Recruitment, Retention, and Reactivation Program. And we're going to go down to Trails of Wagon. And this class is designed for folks who have never been bird hunting before. It's $35. It's going to include a $25 gift card to Bass Pro Shops. We've got a one-year membership to the National Wild Turkey Federation, a hat, and lunch, shells, birds, guided service. And we're going to teach you how to hunt some upland game birds. I mean, it's just going to be a phenomenal class.
Oh, yeah. For what, $35? You get all that?
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, can I sign up? He goes, no, you don't qualify.
I still kind of do, don't I? But no, you know
what? We'll get you signed up anyway.
that's just an incredible opportunity. I mean, if you look, Michigan used to be one of those places that was abundant with game birds, but habitat and the lack thereof has really put a strain on our pheasant population in the state. There's still some pocket areas, believe it or not. Some of the burned out, dilapidated areas of Detroit are great pheasant hunting opportunities, but you can't hunt there.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the point of the class is not necessarily to focus on pheasants. Yeah, we'll be at a pheasant farm and give them the excitement of the hunt. And those who've done it know what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of them game bird hunters never go back to deer hunting because of, you know, it's so exciting. But to give them the opportunity to maybe, you know, there's some great grouse habitat up here, turkey hunting. It's just phenomenal up in these areas, especially up here around me in Cadillac.
Absolutely, yeah. We've had a great year for grouse, and our friends over in Minnesota have been seeing a fantastic year for as well. And that's one of those things, too, that we've learned from our good friend Al Stewart of the Michigan DNR, that it's kind of cyclical. It kind of goes up and down in waves. We've been riding this steady wave of woodcock hunting in the state of Michigan as well. The conditions have been absolutely fantastic. Turkey, unbelievable hunting here in the state. So the opportunity to learn about, you know, the different habitats and the habits of these birds. And for that price, Ed, it's almost unfair.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the agency, the DNR, that's who I work for. They've been doing, the Wildlife Division has been doing a great job with the GEMS project. You know, folks can go on and see those grouse management areas. There's maps. There's ways to get there. So there's no secret here. We can make it as easy as possible for folks to get out. So if they want to know how to do it, that's what this class is about.
Ed Shaw is an interpreter with the Michigan DNR. He heads up the Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center up in Cadillac at the Lake Mitchell State Park. If you've never been, it's a beautiful facility with exhibits and learning. And Ed, this is going to be a pretty heavy ice fishing show, it turns out. But I just kind of realized that, yeah, we're covering ice fishing a lot. Thank God for Ed, because he's like kind of the ballast for everything. He's kind of balancing things. But you guys have a really, really nice ice fishing program up there as well that, introduces people to the gear and the products at such a low dough rate, you can't pass it up.
Yeah, similar classes that are in the hundreds of dollars. For $25, you come for a one-day class. It's an all-day class. We take you out on the ice. We got Steve Berry. He's a pro staff with Clam Vexilar. Matt Peterson from Fishbones Custom Lures. Norm Smith, from HD Enterprises.
Uncle Norm.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And Dave Young comes up, too. And we all get together and we set up different rooms and different stations on how to do different things, and we take you out on the ice. Good opportunity to try Vexilar. Vexilar donates flashers to the center to use. If you don't have the equipment, we have shanties and tip-ups. And Jawjacker last year gave us some Jawjackers, and these things are awesome. Man, they're so much fun. I got some video of some kids catching some pike on these things. It is just phenomenal. We have a lot of fun with it. It's one of my favorite classes to teach is ice fishing, because we can get everybody out on the ice, and the guys do a great job at making sure that, I'm not going to say everybody will catch a fish, but in the past, we've been very lucky with at least everybody catching one bluegill or crappie or something.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the great thing too, to get kids interested. There has to be some sort of action, because look, their attention span is like mine, almost none, and to get them that kind of action, to get them going. Look, my first ice fishing experience was the worst thing ever. We had a 25 pound or 50 pound spud or a spoon auger, neither of which did very well. High winds, no shelters, and some gear that my dad got from a buddy of his that owned a secondhand store. It was not a good experience. I'll just say that. But for some reason, I decided to go back and do it, and realized that there are ways to do it, to learn, and being taught by people that this is what they do, this is their passion, is a lot more satisfying and makes the experience secondary. Or the experience when you come back, rather, that much better.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. It's about providing that experience for families. It's not just for kids. We do have kids in the class. And what blew me away is how many grandparents were bringing their kids out to take the class, to give them that experience. And it's an opportunity for folks to not only learn about ice fishing from the pros, but try it if they never have.
All right, Ed Shaw is joining us. He's being hovered over by Steve Berry.
Yeah, he's sitting here listening too.
All right, well.
Hi, Steve.
We're going to talk more with these guys coming up here in a couple of minutes. Wild Michigan being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Michigan's own Lucky Buck Deer Mineral and Darton Archery, dartonarchery.com. Man, the brand new Rebel 150 SS. Check them out online, dartonarchery.com, or a link from our website, Wild Michigan Radio, will get you there. And I want to answer an email. Got an email from Mike Ramirez over the weekend. He wanted to know, because we had rebroadcast an older show in our absence, if you will. He wanted to know, he was listening to the show, and he said that they were going on about classes for building fly rods, steelhead rods, also fishing classes, steelhead fishing classes on the Manistee. I'm like, oh, we were talking to Ed Shaw. And I'm going to answer Mike's email, but I've got Ed on the phone with me right now. 2017 calendar, Ed, you guys, you're really building it up. I mean, this is getting so big that I don't know if, you know, you'll talk to me anymore because you're that cool.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, we accredit some of this success to you guys.
All I do is talk, dude. not much going on there.
It's the listeners that listen to the radio because they have a passion like we do for the hunting and fishing sport.
Absolutely. And when I tell you that I've been through this, one of the classes there, and the instructors, much like our guests on the show, the instructors are full of great information and are there to answer your questions. And that's where we've been very lucky with this show is we've had access to all of these people to be able to ask them the questions, because that doesn't happen in everyday life. You can't just go to this professional like you'd like and have them answer this question, or, you know, because we all have pretty much the same questions. Some skill levels are above others, but we still have the same general questions, and that's what we're trying to find out. And when you can go to these classes at the Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center up at the Lake Mitchell State Park in Cadillac, this is where you will see and be able to firsthand experience these classes. Now, let's look a little ahead. You said something about walleye off air and also steelhead.
Yeah, we have, one of our most popular classes last year. Actually, both of them were very popular. We'll offer the steelhead clinic. That will be in, we are going to do that one the last weekend in March, first weekend of February. It's posted online on the Hunting and Fishing website on the Michigan DNR webpage. And we're going to do the walleye clinic. That one is taught by Steve Berry and Matt Peterson from Fishbones Custom Lures. He does a great job, and we're going to run that one on May 6th this year.
Right. Now that gives us some time, too, because about April we're getting into Detroit River walleye, and then as we get later on into the year, you know, we start moving out to bigger, more open waters.
Oh, this was a cool one. I got to tell you guys, Steve brought his boat in. Steve's a former guide and walleye pro, and I mean, he really hits it hard. He's with Church Tackle, and he basically went through the entire boat, bow to stern, how to set out your downriggers, how to set out your planer boards, what to use at that time of year and when, and just basically went through everything he has in the boat. So if you're ever wondering what a pro has in their boat, underneath the stuff you're not seeing, and then they talk about how to use it and when to use it and where to use it. It was really cool. It was underneath the pavilion out there. You saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Put out a bunch of picnic tables. We always do lunch as part of the class, and it was a good time. It was one of the cooler classes because they literally taught the whole class from the boat.
That's awesome. Now, Steve's sitting there right with you now, correct?
Yeah, he's sitting here. You want to say hi?
Absolutely, I want to talk to Steve. Steve Berry is a longtime friend of ours. We've been friends on the Facebook. We know we've had the opportunity to hang out in person. Steve, you know, and going through when you're instructing people about you, a pro, having in your boat, I know also that you can basically tell people, you know, give them the basic necessities. Welcome, buddy. How have you been?
I'm well. And you?
I'm doing good, man. So we can all start out with some basics.
Right. Yeah. You know, everybody needs a couple of things you really need that I stress is a line counter reel and a decent rod. So you know how far back your lures are. And if you know how far back your lures are, then you know how deep they're running.
And those are pretty inexpensive, too, because I see those at, like, the Ultimate Fishing Show, dirt cheap. I'll see guys and gals walking through there with like, you know, eight of them at a time because they're not that expensive.
No, it's not super expensive to get into the sport. But that's one of the main things, of course, again, with a graph, and you don't have to go with a super expensive one. But and then, you know, we go over everything in the boat, like Ed said, planer boards, how far to put them out, how we bring them back in with a fish on, go from all the stuff in the boat, why we have it, why it's there, safety equipment, everything.
Yeah, again, you brought up a very good point, safety equipment. You know, that seems to be the least thought about piece of equipment in your boat, but yet is the most critical piece to have in your boat.
Absolutely, absolutely. I carry flares. Of course, I was a charter boat captain at one time, so I have all the goodies. But, you know, I carry not only flares, but I carry a light that, floats. If it goes in, it floats in strobe light. I also carry a nebulous. It's a blow-up raft.
Mm-hmm.
If the boat ever sinks, I've got a raft to float around on. Just stuff like that, you know. Things a lot of people don't think about. I carry a whistle. All kinds of different stuff.
You know, it's funny what, and I equate this to bow hunting, how people will spend $1,000, $1,500 in their bow setup, but will spend $30, $40 on a tree stand. Guess what? Your bow's not going to save your life if you fall. You know,
yeah, that's right.
You know, spend a little money on that tree stand, spend a little money on a safety harness, and the same thing goes for fishing. Spend some money on your life-saving equipment. Mustang makes some great, you know, PFDs, personal flotation devices that go on your, you know, that you wear. They're very comfortable and they do not go off unless you're, you know, under 4 inches of water. Okay. It's pressure managed to not go off. You know, if you just fall in, if you accidentally fall in, if you start sinking, different story, boom, inflates back up, you know, and this is the experience I've had working with those guys at the Bassmaster Classics. You know, you learn all these things from the experts and their fields there. But, and again, this is why you have the classes at the Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center up there in Lake Mitchell, is to give people these firsthand experiences of what they need, especially the important things. And Steve, I appreciate all you guys do for you know, the hunting and angling community, the men and women of Michigan, the kids, especially the kids, because you guys are really hands-on with that.
Yes, you know, we do it because we love it, Duran. And, you know, we've all kind of reached an age where it's time to pass our knowledge on, and we just love to do it.
Now, I'm going to ask you guys, Ed and Steve, there's a website that we can go to for those listening, and we will put that up on the website, our website, which is already a link to the Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center. But if you guys want to give that on over the air, please do.
Yeah, it's michigan.gov/huntfishcenter, all one word.
All right, michigan.gov/huntfishcenter, all one word. Ed Shaw, Steve Berry, a couple of the guys, you know, going through and educating people up there. It's a beautiful facility. And if you, even if you just want to stop by, Ed, you guys have made some beautiful displays there. You had some wood carvings, some carvings of pike decoys up there that are like super rare and some things that people just really don't know a lot about.
Yeah, they're Oscar Peterson fish decoys for spearing. You know, spearing up here for pike is pretty popular. And if folks are interested, every Thursday night, some of the carvers who at one point in time carved with Oscar Peterson, they learned to carve from the guy. They come here and teach decoy carving every Thursday at 6. We have other things, too, like snowshoeing and rod building. That's a great Christmas gift if, you know, their significant other wants to build their husband or wife a rod for the Christmas season or after the holidays. We do sign-ups for that, too.
Yeah, a lot of really cool stuff up there, and I'm so glad that we've had the opportunity to meet you guys. And now, again, this is the second conversation that our good friend Norman Smith has been mentioned in today from two different people. So, you know, he's doing Uncle Norm's doing a few things right as well.
You know, Norm's been such a phenomenal addition to our Outdoor Skills Academy pro staff. He's a wonderful person on the team. And I'll tell you what coolest part about Norm is I watched him last year. We were catching great big bluegills out on a secret lake up by his house. And and we ran into this young gal out there. Norm ended up giving this gal his flashlight, his rod and reel, and sat there and showed her how to tight line for these big bluegills. And then at the end of the day, said, you know what, keep the rod and reel.
Yeah, that's Norm. That's Norm in a nutshell. Great guys, man. And very happy to be associated with you all. We really appreciate you joining us. Ed Shaw, Steve Berry, check it out. The Carl T. Johnson Hunt and Fish Center. You can find the link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Let's speak with Brian Brosdahl in the next hour here on Wild Michigan.